a rich man's world. I have turned the song of this beautiful land, but that
Pukenikua your most surprising prospect from last year, I guess?
It would have to be. I mean, he was the guy.
Damn, that's a good one.
I mean, he got picked in, what, the fifth round, and then he ended up setting a couple rookie records for wide receiver. Yeah, I would say that he had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
And was definitely a surprise. I mean, who would have thought that out of all the wide receivers?
Yeah. See, like, Pukenikua was one of those dudes I honestly didn't even, like, research that much.
Not much, dude. I mean, I knew he was coming out of BYU. I knew he was, you know, pretty decent. But, I mean, it's just one of those things to where ever since Zach Wilson, I kind of turned my cheek to BYU
because of Zach Wilson.
Dead ass, bro.
You know who Zach Wilson kind of reminds me of?
Who's that, bro?
JJ McCarthy.
You think so, dude?
A little bit. And I kind of, like,
why?
See, J.J. McCarthy and Zach Wilson remind me of similar players for two reasons.
Okay.
My first, like, comparison for them comes from their agility. They're both moderately athletic, and they can move around. And when I watch tape, like, J.J. McCarthy's a pretty damn good athlete. Much better than Zach Wilson was. Don't get
it
twisted.
He was also a very highly scouted hockey player before switching to straight football.
Yeah.
So
him and Zach Wilson, though, like, I think he uses his legs slightly more, but sometimes almost unnecessarily as well. And I think Wilson had a habit of doing that, and I would like to see them, like, stick in the pocket a little bit more often, but that's something that's coachable, in my opinion. But another reason they remind me of each other is because they're both getting draft capital and draft hype to be top five picks, yet, you know, coming into the season, I don't know if anyone had them as QB 1, 2, or 3 from the class, right?
I would definitely say that J.J. McCarthy was probably not 1, 2, or 3, I would say. I think there was definitely a lot of hype around him just because he was Michigan's quarterback last year, which the season prior they had went to the semis for the national championship. So it was one of those things where he was like, oh, this guy's kind of a winner. Like, this is one of the first games this guy has actually really lost.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like that sort of feeling, like it's proven that this cat's a winner. I mean, he's won at every level. And so I don't think it's going to be any different at the NFL. I really think that he has all the abilities to do so. I really do. And I think you have some sort of a point with his legs. At the end of the day, I don't really know if he's going to be utilizing his legs all that much in the NFL just because he is 6'1", 6'2". Like 210, 215, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, throwing him into harm's way all those times probably isn't the greatest thing to do. He is a good athlete. He's tough. Like I said, he played hockey. But I think that they're definitely going to be like a lot more designed runs or just rollouts where he's just smart enough to read the coverage and he can pick up 15 yards.
Yeah. I think he'll fit in a scheme that's surrounded by where he's surrounded by weapons.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, but even then, like, I think the most important thing, I think, especially what we've seen at Michigan, is their offensive line has been absolutely stellar his whole time. So if he goes somewhere where there's a good offensive line,
mm-hmm.
I think that's his biggest thing. I don't think he's really been under pressure all that much. So I can't say that's a knock on him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think that this guy can work in pressure when needed, though. Like, you saw that in the national championship. They won for a reason.
I think J.J. McCarthy's ceiling is Kyler Murray.
Okay. So at one point, Kyler Murray was looked at as a possible NFL MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not a terrible ceiling, especially if you're trying to, you know, draft a quarterback where you can throw him into your lineup and, you know, set him and start him. I don't know.
And that's not wrong either. Like, if all things go well, I think he's Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a great quarterback. Like, he's one of the better quarterbacks, but, you know, availability is something that's been kind of put on his jacket.
100%. And availability isn't something that you really need to question with J.J.
I would never
McCarthy.
Question. I don't question availability with players because I don't try to predict injuries.
That's fair. I get that. But one thing that's been proven is J.J.'s been readily available every week.
He's played a lot of football, and I think that's one of his advantages coming into the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think at his ceiling, he's Kyler Murray, and at his floor, he's Zach Wilson. So, you know, your next question would be, okay, well, who is he if he's just somewhere in the middle? I got to say Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
I think a pretty solid comp for J.J. McCarthy is Baker Mayfield, better than Zach Wilson maybe, because Baker is somebody who can distribute the ball. He gets it to you when the play is designed to, you know, get it to you. And he's sneaky athletic. J.J.'s way more athletic than Baker Mayfield.
Agreed.
But I think as personalities, and it's not like I know these guys personally, but from what I see from the outside looking in, they're both kind of like rah-rah guys. They really bring the energy up in a locker room, and they can fit in anywhere. And so if all things were to just go about average, I see him as, you know, Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield for fantasy, he's still like a low-end QB1 some weeks. But if you guys play Superflex, which I'm thinking about joining the league this year.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to do one of those, bro. It's way too – it's hard. It's hard.
What do you like the least about it?
The two quarterbacks. Like, I just – there's hardly that many startable quarterbacks out there, and so just having to add that extra wrinkle to have two of them, it's kind of sketch.
Damn, you're telling me you're not a professional quarterback scout?
I mean, I can be a scout all I want, but I can't control, like you had said, their injuries and whatnot, what happens to their offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I like just playing with one bullet, I guess.
Is J.J. McCarthy a top three quarterback from this draft class?
I would say so, yeah. If you ask me who I honestly compare him to most,
top three too.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, in this draft class, I would say that he's going to be a top three.
Who would you kick out of your top three if it included Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels?
I would probably throw out I'm gonna be a hater, but Caleb Williams.
Yeah. What?
Yeah,
wait, bro. Tell me why.
Bro, there's just so many question marks around him, dog. I don't know, like I believe in his abilities and everything. But just all the stuff that you saw him do at USC, like, the guy kind of looks like a head case.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. So, like, if I'm just bringing a guy to be my star quarterback for the next 15 or so years, I just want to make sure that I have a guy that I'm going to be comfortable being the star of my franchise for that long.
Do you think that weighs more than just the natural talent?
Well, I mean, I think that they both have a lot of natural talent, so that's the thing. And they're both about the same size. I think Caleb might weigh a little bit more, but they're about the same height, so.
It's a different arm, though.
It's a little bit of a different arm, but compared to what you're doing with your offense and everything, there's not always a time where you need to shoot a 85-yard missile down the field. I mean, that's not necessarily a part of your game plan.
It helps.
Sure, but I mean, McCarthy still has one of the better arms, I think, coming into this draft as well. I really think that his arm has slept on.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I don't think. So, like, I thought about the off the field shit, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying I think Caleb Williams is going to be any sort of a problem. But in a worst case scenario, something were to go crazy and, you know, okay, now he's in the media every week for X, Y, or Z. His on the field talent is so great to where I think you almost treat it like you treated it with other guys like Jay Cutler or Aaron Rodgers. Right, where there's always off-season news or off-the-field shit going on. You take the talent. If I'm a GM...
Yeah, but that stuff's happening as a rookie. Like, Jay Cutler, when he was coming into the league, when he was drafted to Denver, there was none of that shit going on really about him.
It went on with Rodgers. Rodgers went down the draft board because of people's perceptions of his attitude.
Possibly, but the guy still went on to be a first-round pick and proved everyone wrong. All I'm saying, you can't knock the talent from Caleb Williams. All I'm saying is, if I'm looking at my top three quarterbacks, I'm going to take him out just because of that.
Damn, dude, that's crazy.
I know, bro, and like I said, I'm going to be a hater on this, but that's just the way I'm looking at it from inside in.
Yeah.
Or outside looking in. I don't know, like, I like Jaden Daniels' talent a lot. I definitely think that he could possibly be more versatile damn near than Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lot larger in size, so that's better. I mean, hopefully you'd make that more durable, you'd mm-hmm. hope. But all in all, and then Drake May, I think, is just a superb talent as well. He's probably borderline kicked out as well in that conversation.
But yeah. Jaden Daniels is staying for sure for
you. Oh, 100% Jaden Daniels. Daniels is locked in there for sure.
Yeah. He's your QB1 then?
I would probably say so, yeah. I would have to say so.
Jaden Daniels actually, he threw
the elbow thing kind of throws me off though. Did you see that?
It was weird. It was weird, bro. He had like a wart on his elbow.
I don't even know if it's a wart, bro.
It was like a base. It was like a baseball size. It's just a lump on his elbow.
Yeah, bro. It was just like, yeah, like, so that's really weird. I don't know what the hell that is, but he must have cleared all of his physicals and stuff because he's flying up the board. So all that being said, yeah, I like Jaden Daniels the most. I think there was a reason why he was the Heisman winner.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Heisman's, I don't put too much weight into him for fantasy football, but
I apologize, bro. One thing that I was going to say beforehand, though, about just J.J. McCarthy before we get off of him completely. If I had to compare him to anyone in the NFL right now, I think I would probably put him as like a lesser Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah, because, I mean, he can utilize his legs, I think, just as well as Justin. I think Justin's definitely a better runner and suitor. More suitable to run in the NFL, but all in all, with the arm talent and everything like that, I really like the vibe of Justin Herbert, especially what he's been doing in the NFL. Not Justin Herbert coming out of college.
Oh, I don't know if I like that comp.
All right, well,
if I had to comp a Justin Herbert from this class, it'd be Drake May.
That's crazy, but I completely understand that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like two prospects can't mirror the same guy. I mean, that's never been unheard of.
Never been done before, actually.
No, never. So,
never been done before.
Nah, bro, but what were you going to say before I cut you off? I apologize about that, dog.
I forgot, but actually, no, today's episode, I wanted to talk about guys who we feel skeptical about, think, you know, could be a bust.
All right, bro, I can fuck with that.
If we want to call him that, but one of the guys I felt kind of questionable about was J.J. McCarthy.
Can't buy that.
J.J. McCarthy, I'm not all about it. Another guy that I'm also kind of questionable about is Marshawn Lloyd.
Marshawn Lloyd,
running back. I think he's entering the season as the running back coming out of USC.
Yes.
He's 23 years old.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on his age, but
I don't love him as a draft pick this year. The reason I'm kind of hating on Marshawn Lloyd a little bit is because he's getting like around third or fourth round fantasy rookie draft.
Yeah.
Draft value. And it feels like a trap, right? You're talking about a guy who's coming into the league already older than most running backs. We know that perennially people say they hit their wall around 24 or 25. He's coming in pretty close to that age range. And another thing on top of that is, even though he was, you know, he was a pretty good back at USC, I worry about the situation where he lands, because if he ends up on a bad offense, just like any running back on a bad offense, he's going to get limited goal line opportunities. But even beyond that, I think Caleb Williams really opened up a lot for him just simply because of his arm.
There's a lot of big runs that he missed as well. I mean, one of his bigger hits on him, I think, is his ball vision.
Yeah. And I mean, have you seen that? When you watch him, like, live or on tape?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where it seems like he's running to the back of his line, and it seemed like, and he's missing a hole. I didn't watch a lot of USC. I watched it a little bit this year, but I can't say that I'm extremely versed in him, but I just don't love the fact that he's not a great pass blocker, it doesn't seem like.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I really noticed. I mean, just watching film, like when you're watching Caleb Williams film, like you can even watch Marshawn Lloyd fucking missing pass blocks all the time.
Yeah.
So like that's one of the things, and it just doesn't seem like he holds up either. Like even like when he does have that block secured, like it seems like he's just going to run right past him. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things.
Yep, exactly. Injury wise, I mean, he had an ACL injury his freshman year.
Yep,
he missed a little bit of time in 2023. It was like
and
some 2022
as well. He missed a lot of time.
Yeah, so availability is one of those things. You know, that's my take on Marshawn Lloyd. Do you have any guys who you're kind of skeptical about?
Oh well, before we got on, one of the guys that you had mentioned really struck a nerve with me, and that's Troy Franklin, running or wide receiver out of Oregon.
Okay.
Dog, I just don't really believe the hype in this cat. Like, I'm sorry, but as high as I was on Jalen Hyatt last year, this guy kind of gives me the same vibe, and I just don't think I can really buy into that again. I don't know. Like, there's only a couple times where, like, the reason why I had all this hype on him was because I really liked the fact of what Jameson Williams can do for the Lions. But then again, like, I don't really see him getting utilized all that much. So at the end of the day, for like fantasy value, I don't think it's all that much. So I don't know, bro. And like, the amount of work that Jalen Hyatt got this year wasn't all that impressive either. It's just one of those things, dude. I don't like trying to have to worry about these receivers who are just paper thin. I mean, they're 6'2 and they're 170 pounds soaking wet. Like, it's just, it's not a great, it's not a great situation if you ask me. It just leaves them up to a lot of vulnerabilities.
Yeah, Troy Franklin is going to be scheme and team dependent.
100%.
Like, he needs to go somewhere in an offense. I've said it before with fast receivers, but like, I want to see him in like a West Coast offense. Okay. He would fit really well in Dallas.
I was going to say something like that where there's already an established one, 100%.
Well, Dak can also like get you the ball deep, but you have CeeDee Lamb eating up targets in the middle. You have Jake Ferguson eating up targets in the middle.
Yep.
Send this guy out deep, kind of like you do with Brandon Cooks.
Right.
And I think Dak has a good enough arm to go ahead and make big plays happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Franklin, some of the reasons I guess I could see why you're negative on him is he has a pretty limited route tree from what I've watched.
It's limited, plus he has a lot of focus drops too, if you ask me.
Yeah, like, he's a speedster. If you guys don't watch college, Troy Franklin is the deep shot. He's one of the fastest wide receivers in this year's draft class. And like Dugo said, I mean, he's kind of smaller in frame. I've never been too much of a hater, I guess, in terms of size at receiver, because I do see a lot of these rookie receivers coming in borderline undersized. You have a Tank Dell. You have this cat. You got guys like Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers who came in small, right? I just think that's where receivers are trending. I don't think it's like too much of a hit on them. But like Dugo said, the hands are something that you got to watch out for. Troy Franklin is maybe a guy I would consider taking at the end of a second round.
Okay, I could get behind that.
That's around where Jalen Hyatt went, and even though Jalen Hyatt came out of college and, you know, he was a Biletnikoff winner,
he was third round pick.
He was a for fantasy?
No, for or I guess in the NFL he was a third.
Troy Franklin is going to end up being taken somewhere in the second, maybe early third. But for fantasy football, if I could get him in the middle of a second round, one quarterback fantasy draft, I'm happy with that.
That's fair, bro. No, I get that. Let's move to another guy that I know you're a little higher on than me.
Who's that?
Xavier Worthy from the University of Texas.
I like Zay. Receiver. I like Zay a lot. Zay is one of my favorite wide receivers this year. Dugo.
Dog, why? I guess, like, I like some of his hype, but I like some of his tape. But at the end of the day, I don't know if all of it's all that, you know, warranted. I don't know, bro. Like, the guy is 5'11", and again, 170. I just feel like it just sets them up to get hit and get hit hard in the NFL. Like, it's good that they aren't able to do that hip drop tackle anymore, because his legs would probably just shatter under that.
That's how you don't know.
Nah, bro. There's just some things that need to be said. Just some things that need to be said, dog. I just, at the end of the day, like, when it comes to like a contested catch, like, I just think he's just gonna get bully balled out there.
So I like Zay, and I did a little video and episode about Zay.
Okay.
If you guys go back in the catalog. But the reasons I like Xavier Worthy is because he's like the twitchiest receiver in this draft class by far. He lined up at X and he had over 70 catches at Texas last year. He's one of those guys that is so freaky athletic. Obviously, he broke the 40 this year with the 4.22 40. You have to respect him whenever he's on the field. And if he can be utilized in an offense to where he's put in motion, to where he's put in at the slot, he's had backfield touches at Texas before. He's versatile enough to where I never need to worry about him getting targets, because he's penciled in for however many touches the offense feels comfortable getting them. So in terms of usage, he's going to be relatively consistent, similar to like a Tyreek Hill, similar to,
I just can't get behind that,
Tank Dell when he was on the field. But the reason I can see why you'd be low on him is size. And
100%,
I guess, like, besides size, what don't you like about his game?
There's not much more other than his size. I mean, it seems like he has relatively decent hands. There's some drops that I see from him, but, I mean, that'll just happen at the NFL or at the college level. Hopefully you can adjust in the NFL. But a lot of it's just his size, dude. It's the size and the sheer fact that we've talked about it before. The person who has the fastest 40 in the draft that year doesn't necessarily end up being that good.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like that. Measurement.
If you look at the stats,
I don't like it.
Hey, bro, I'm just letting you know for free.
A lot of those guys, like a John Ross, they were like one dimensional, like Henry Ruggs.
What do you think? What's the difference between Xavier Worthy and Henry Ruggs, other
agility? Because a lot of those dudes who ran those fast 40s were just simply like they were just track stars, right? Like they just knew how to run fast because they ran track. But Xavier Worthy was like a true X in that his agility, his ability to like break down his hips and get acceleration out of cuts. That's the shit that like makes a good receiver. That's how you get a Tank Dell or like a Tyreek Hill, is a fast dude who knows how to break down, switch directions, and boom out of that cut, right? Like that's the small shit that matters. And he's really good at that, Dugo.
Unfortunately, it's the small things that matter. Unfortunately, he is a small thing. So it's just one of those.
That's just hate.
Dog, he's 5'11 and 170 playing in the NFL where there's linebackers that are 6'4, 250. Mm-hmm.
I don't like him as an X.
Dog, I just think like if he's going to be in the NFL, he's going to be a gadget guy. And then at that point, where's the fantasy worthiness of that?
Where would you draft him in a rookie one quarterback fantasy draft?
Probably around like the third round.
Wow.
For real, bro. Like, I just don't see a lot of hype in it, if I want to be completely honest.
Does that change if he gets first round NFL draft value?
I'd probably pop him up to a second then. Like, probably like a later second, realistically. It's just, I don't know how durable he's going to be, dog. I don't know. Like, it's just different in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. See, that's something we'll have to kind of wait and see. But I love Xavier. Obviously, you don't. I guess taking it off of Zay and taking it off of Texas, mm-hmm. I did want to go ahead and talk about another guy who I'm a little skeptical about.
Who is it?
Jonathan Brooks. Actually, he's not taking it off of Texas,
yeah,
but staying in Texas.
You're keeping it in Texas.
Jonathan Brooks is somebody.
Why is that? Is it just because of the injury or?
That, but he doesn't have great vision, bro. His vision kind of sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really trust his ability to, like, find a hole and just, like, hit it. Like, he's explosive and in open field. I don't want to be the guy to have to tackle him. But he needs to get past the offensive line first. And I don't know how good he is at doing that.
No, that's fair, bro. That's fair. I can get that, the concerns in that. I just feel like at the end of the day, this guy, he's still young. I think he's almost the same age as Braylon Allen. So the guy is still young. He can still learn how to read still. So if that happens, then I think he's going to be a star. If you look at the comps that are out there, some people are comparing him to Jamal Charles, and I'm sorry. I'm not missing out on a Jamal Charles, bro. Like, I think there's a lot of hype behind that. I really do.
I just think the motherfucker saw dreads, and it was like, oh, shit. He also wears 20-something.
Hey, and he's also fast as fuck. Oh, yeah. My God, that's Jamal Charles.
No, like you said, I mean, he's somebody that I don't love as RB1. I got Trey Benson pretty much locked in as my RB1 this year.
I'm getting there, too, yeah.
Yeah, I love Trey Benson's tape. Jonathan Brooks, obviously, in open field. He can do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he's gonna depend on being in the right offense.
No, that's fair. I get it. But one thing that I also really like about this guy is that he does have limited miles on him, on his mm-hmm. legs. I mean, he does have that injury, but having to sit behind Bijan Robinson and also who's the running back for Chicago?
Oh,
that came out last year.
Roshan Johnson.
Yeah, Roshan Johnson. So like having to sit behind those two cats the last couple of years, like the guy has some fresh legs on him still. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I like it personally. I think that he's gonna be a star at some point.
I don't like him as RB1, and I'm starting to get to a point to where I don't know if I love him as RB2.
What? Who do you have RB2?
There's guys like Jalen. I love Jalen Wright's tape, bro.
That's fair. I get it. But, like, I just feel like that at the end of the day, I keep saying that, but realistically, I think that Jonathan Brooks is just the more complete back. Mm-hmm. I really do.
We'll see. I'm not hating him as a prospect, but RB1 in this class, that's hard for me to say. So he's one of those guys that I guess I'm a little bit lower than the field. But a receiver that I'm also lower than compared to the field is also Marvin Harrison Jr.
What, bro? I mean, being lower on him in the field, I mean, like, that could be
wide receiver one.
that could be like putting him at wide receiver too, but bro, like I really think that he's the one.
Dugo, we got to get to it. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just keep it a buck now. I don't really like Marvin Harrison Jr. as the wide receiver one for these two reasons.
Okay.
I think that he gets a lot of hype just because of the name on the back of his jersey. No disrespect to his family, but I think like he's a cool receiver, but I don't think he's better than Romo Odunze. I think if you put them side by side, they run similar routes. Marvin Harrison's a little bit taller.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, he kind of...
I think they're about the same height.
Somewhat, yeah. He just looks, I don't know, taller on the field, so...
He's a little bit lankier. Rome is a little bit more built.
So. Yeah, exactly. Like, Marvin is better at maybe contested catches, like high-pointing the ball if you need that. But just overall route tree, I think you can get hands on Marvin Harrison Jr. and you can fuck him up off his route. If you're like a Sauce Gardner, if you're a Patrick Surtain, I think if you get hands on Marv, I don't know how great he is at the line of scrimmage against that.
I mean, I don't really know how much has really happened at the college level just because he is. I think he's a lot more agile than you think. Like, there's not a lot of people that really get hands on him. And when they do, he's strong enough to get those hands off of him. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, this guy has been a student of this position for his whole life. I just think that at the end of the day that this guy is the one. I really do. He's 6'3", 209. He's that guy, bro. He really is.
Yeah, he's a pretty fluid athlete. Coming out of that OSU class where they had, you know, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., I still got Garrett Wilson as being better than Marvin. Just that was just from the college tape because of how versatile he was with his routes. But Marvin, I don't know, man. It's just something that don't feel right. I almost want to bring it back to availability. I mean, I know he didn't have that many reps his first year. He ended up getting hurt, I believe it. I believe he ended up getting hurt last year. I don't know. Romo Odunze doesn't have any injury history. I don't like Malik Nabers as a potential wide receiver one because I think he also has drop issues or concentration issues. But... yeah, bro, I got Romo Odunze as my wide receiver one this year, gang, and I got him over Marvin Harrison Jr.
Man, I mean, I'll let you have that just so you can be at peace with, you know, not
drafting
the correct person.
Bro, that's what my heart tells me. Hey, that's bro, what my heart tells me.
You can roll with that, bro. I'm all right with that. You can be at peace with your own decision.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, though, I think the only thing that was holding this guy back at Ohio State was his quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously having C.J. Stroud is huge, but then having Kyle McCord or whoever the hell it was this year, dog, he was trash. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think he's the reason why that team really did much this year at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely helped. Don't get me wrong. He's not a bad receiver. I ain't got him as my wide receiver one.
That's crazy, bro. I just remember one time when he had like 11 catches on and 3 touchdowns one game. I think it might have been like his rookie year or some shit, but
OSU plays some trash teams though.
Nah, bro, like they also play like some really good ones too. Like they play Penn State every year, they play Michigan every year. And now we're going to be going into well, I mean obviously he won't be playing them, but we're going to have the Big Ten including Oregon and a bunch of other schools this year too, so
Oregon's going to be crazy.
That will be wild.
That's a crazy addition.
That and yeah, Washington too. What?
Washington.
Yeah, and USC and UCLA. It's gonna be wild.
What do you think of Michael Penix?
I like him, especially the sheer fact that he came out and with his injury history, he is still able to run low 4.6, I believe it was.
Yeah, he ran his 40 damn near, I think it was today or yesterday.
Yeah, something like that.
And you ran a 4.46.
Yep.
Which is pretty good. And I mean, I don't know how much you people like, I don't know how y'all, what y'all care about when it comes to 40s, but a 4.46 is pretty athletic, and I think
I'll take that for my quarterback, bro.
Bro, if he ended up in Seattle, I would love his stock.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be paired up with this college coach at OC.
Yep.
He has 3 receivers who he can get the ball out to, which, you know, he's been a part of a top 5, top 10 passing attack in college football for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, Washington has been top 5 in passing. That says a lot. And if you can just come into the league and pair that up immediately with the same guy he got it done with at coordinator, that would be a dream.
Nah, bro, I agree with that 100%. I really do. And I also think that even if he were to sit a year behind Geno Smith, I think that's the perfect person for him to learn from.
Yep. Come in with like the understanding that you got a vet in there who's getting paid a lot of money to,
right.
to play.
Exactly, exactly.
And then slow roll them 100%. Mm-hmm. Any other guys I guess you want to talk about that you don't feel the highest on? I mean, I know we talked about Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lloyd. There's, I talked about Marvin Harrison.
There's one motherfucker that we talked about before this, too. Bucky Irving. I'm not super high on this cat. I really am not.
Buckaroo.
Bro, how the hell are you a running back trying to get into the NFL and you run a 4.61 or some shit like that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be doing that, dog. I'm sorry. I don't know, bro. It took a lot out of me when I saw that. Didn't love it. So, I don't know. I got a little hate on him. I think that he has some pretty decent talent other than that, but he's definitely fallen down my board ever since that moment when I was on the plane coming home from Florida. And then this motherfucker just so happens to go out, ruin my day by running a 4.61.
Yo, you've been talking about Bucky a lot. And dog, like, I know I'm how much you like his tape a lot coming out.
I do like
before the combine.
Like his tape, dog. I do. Don't get me wrong. I like his tape a lot. But at the end of the day, like when you go out and you hurt me like that.
Where was Bucky, like in comparison to the rest of the class, where did you have him ranked before the NFL combine?
I had him pretty much as like a top five running back. I had him up there. I really did. I just think that his pass catching ability and the way that he runs is pretty all right for the NFL. I think he's pretty patient, so it's pretty all right.
Where is he now post combine?
He's fallen. Well, there's also been a lot of guys that have rose their stock a lot too since the combine, so let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jalen Wright, he exploded up my list.
Isaac Garendo.
Yeah, Isaac Garendo. I hardly forgot that guy was still even going into the NFL. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, he was there.
Bucky's just so small, bro.
Yeah, he's small, but, like, the same shit was said about people like Aaron Jones and stuff like that, too. But the thing is just running a 4.6 is this.
Like, his helmet looks too big, bro. His helmet looks big as fuck. I'm dead ass. Like, he looks like, bro, he's so small.
It do, yeah. But just, like, his jump cuts and stuff, dude. Like, I enjoy his play style. Like, I don't think he's, like, I didn't think he was going to be, like, the fastest in the room. But I thought, like, you know, like, a low 4.5, maybe a high 4.4.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, bro, like I said, it's just the, like you said earlier, it's just those little things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so with a guy that small and not being able to be quick enough to run, you know, like I said, like, something like a round, like a 4.4-ish, like, that's mm-hmm. kind of where I draw my line. Like, if you're going to be that small, you got to have something behind you. It's the same reason why, like, I was a little bit higher on, like, a Devin Achane because he ran, like, a 4.3, and he was also that size, so.
Mm-hmm. See, like, I want to see him in, like, an RPO offense.
An RPO offense, okay.
Yeah. So I want to see him in, like, a run-pass option type of offense.
Yep, okay.
Because his size, like, he's about 192 pounds, so yep. He's under 200. And the rule with running backs is you want a dude with – pause a little bit, but you want to do with some meat. Pause. You want somebody who's going to come in at over 205 pounds because they're going to take a lot of hits. And Bucky Irving at 192 is deemed by all measures small.
Damn, bro.
But if you run him in an RPO style of offense, so think of the Ravens, think of what the Chiefs have historically run, think of, I don't know, the Eagles are another one.
Colts are starting to do a little bit with that.
When you have a Russian threat, the Bears, when you have a Russian threat at quarterback, you kind of have to, you know, take your attention off of the running back.
Yep.
Anything that's a distraction with Bucky Irving in the backfield is a benefit to him because of his size.
100%.
So I want to see him in an RPO style of offense, but the biggest issue with that is a lot of those RPO offenses, so if you think of the Bears, if you think of the Eagles, if you think of the Ravens, they all signed RB1s in free agency. Mm-hmm. The Eagles picked up Saquon. The Ravens picked up Derrick Henry. The Bears picked up DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
So there's just not a lot of places that he can land and do anything without a major injury.
Right.
So, you know, Bucky's an interesting prospect. I kind of want to do, like, a solo on Bucky damn near before the draft.
Yeah, bro. I think that you should definitely sit down and watch more of his tape, and I should probably do the same a little bit as well. But
is he in your top 10 after the combine for running backs?
I would say he's probably number 10. I don't know. Like, I like his ability still, but like I said before, there's a lot of people who have definitely up their up their stock from the combine.
How do you feel about Tyrone Tracy? What do you like about his tape so much? Like, what? Because I know he's a converted. He's a running back, guys, but he was converted from a receiver.
Yeah.
And he's only been a running back for a year.
Yeah, bro. So basically, he checks all the boxes. Like you had said before, like if you're going to be a running back in the NFL, you want to be at least 205.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy stands at, I believe he's 5'11", 209. So he checks those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really like his skill set, dude. Like being a converted wide receiver, even a wide receiver where he played at Iowa. So he wasn't really being utilized much anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to Purdue where he ran the track for him this past year. I just think that if he can get into a running back room where he's probably not starting right away, but where he can go in somewhere and he can just learn behind those motherfuckers, like what exactly a true running back does,
mm-hmm.
what they do, all that good stuff. Because last year was his first year as a running back. And so it was probably a little, you know, like, what the fuck? But the guy runs a 4.4. So that's perfect for me when it comes to a running back. And then, like I said, dog, I just think once he gets a true grip on the position.
He needs to learn pass protection, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%, bro. Like, yeah.
Because
get it out. What's up?
He's a pass catcher at heart.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I like most about him, too, honestly.
So he needs to be on the field when they're throwing the ball. He's probably going to be one of those backs who's only on the field on passing plays.
Yeah, it's going to be a Jerick McKinnon type beat.
But if he cannot pass protect at a really high level, he's not going to get on the field.
That's true. You're not wrong.
That's going to be 50% of his job. Like, I think he gets into an NFL offense based off of special teams.
Oh, that'll definitely be a deciding factor for him for sure.
He's going to have to be a lead on special teams to get opportunity. So his first year, I'm not expecting the most.
No.
He'll definitely be
a taxi candidate for probably 2 years, honestly.
He's the style of dude who you're going to take in like the fifth round and he's going to sit in your taxi. But if he can learn pass protection and if he can learn how to block, and I'm not saying he's bad at it. He just needs to be damn good to get his opportunity. And if he gets better at pass protection, right now I kind of got him at middle of the pack. And obviously he's learning, right? Like he's been playing running back for a year.
Yep.
But if he can get better at pass pro, I think he'll get his opportunity. Who's my comp for Tyrone Tracy? Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough. Do you have a comp for him, actually?
Realistically, when I just think about him, I said a little bit ago, but Jerick McKinnon kind of gives me a good vibe just because of the pass catching ability, and the size is pretty much about the same as well. He's missing the dreads, but.
Yeah, he's missing the dreads. He's 5'11", 209, so, you know, that's good. He has the size. He has the speed to do whatever, but.
Aaron Jones light if he can actually learn how to pass block, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm just like that, but also his ability to, like, find the hole is something that I think he's learning, too.
100%. Yeah, there's not a lot of that going on when you're a wide receiver, so I think learning that for sure is going to be one of those things.
Yeah, but in a PPR league, he has a little bit more value. He's a toss-up.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's, 100%. At the end of the day, though, I like him. I really do. I think that there's a lot of things to like about him. So at the end of the day, he'd definitely be one of those cats that I'm throwing for at the end of the late rounds.
Last thing about Tyrone Tracy is he's 24 years old.
Yeah, that's not great. It's not amazing. Don't get me wrong.
So you're drafting, like, you're drafting him, and he's already damn near at the age to where you start considering moves for your running back. So he needs to pop in the next 2-3 years for him to be a valuable pick.
100%. But I think he has all the skills to do so.
Yeah. So he's somebody I'm not the highest on, but Dugo's higher, and I guess we'll kind of see where he lands and what happens and if he can turn out to be everything, everything that Dugo's hoping for.
God damn right.
But I don't really have any other people to really discuss in terms of guys that I don't think are going to do well. Do you have anybody else you want to get off your chest?
No, not really. Not off rip.
Okay, well, thank you guys for tapping in with another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name's Ja.
Hey, you know it's Dugo over here. Appreciate y'all tapping in with those head tops.
Make sure you hit that follow button below. And until we meet again, peace out.